All right, you ready? We can go ahead and call to order whenever you want.
Oh yeah, let's call to order right now.
So we do have a quorum. Jay and Ruben will both be, James Hayes I haven't heard from, but he did say he was gonna be here, and then Jay and Ruben said they would be, conflicts would be, but we still have a quorum, so we're good to go. So public comment?
I have the specific comments on.
Okay. So nothing in general, right?
Sure, of course. I don't really, we just need to glance at all.
We need to approve the minutes from our last meeting. Everyone should have a copy, everybody.
I have read that, yeah. He's definitely one. Will I have to abstain?
No, actually, if you weren't here, you don't actually have to abstain.
If you read them and you understand them and you agree with what's written, you do not have to abstain.
Yeah.
How would I disagree with so many sheriff's deputies around?
Easily.
It's your prerogative. If you want to abstain, you certainly have that option, but you don't have to.
I move approval.
Okay.
I'll second.
Objection, we're good to go. Okay, updates. Captain, you want to give us an update on the crime statistics?
Sure. Well, everybody, like, so I try to give it a different look every time, but depending on what time of year it is, and like, you never know when these people are going to meet up for VAC. So this particular one, I wanted to kind of do a summary from right before I came in here to this last quarter. So basically the fourth quarter 2022 to this last one that we just finished up in 2023. And just to see if there was any trends. I know, Councilman, you mentioned about stolen vehicles, and there's a lot of misconceptions about that, and maybe some not misconceptions about it. So I just wanted to do a data comparison. So there are some, you'll see increases on here, but some of these increases I actually think are good. Mm-hmm. So when you look at total cost of dispatch, they're up 36 from last fourth quarter last year. To me, that's a good thing. That means our 100%. People are mm-hmm. calling my people and not calling you guys after
yeah.
Yes. I say, right? So total reports, down. That's not a bad thing. That means there are less major incidents that need to be documented. Crimes against persons, it's very anecdotal because our crimes against persons are usually pretty low here anyway. So you can't, it's hard to say, we had a 40% drop. It'd be like me saying that I had a 40% murder drop, but we only had one or something. So
yeah.
So that one's kind of, don't really go off the percentages, but overall they did go down. And the same thing with the crimes against property. And I add in crimes against society because they're kind of joined. Crimes against society, if you haven't heard of it, this is like kind of a newer term. Basically like trespassing,
homeless.
Certain, you know, quality of life type crimes, stuff like that. But I don't consider them necessarily crimes against a person. But the main thing that we're concerned about here are crimes against property, because the crimes against people are more isolated incidents, domestic type stuff. One fight in a parking lot for people that were fighting over a parking space. But the crimes against property are the things that really come in and make people victims, right? So, not to say that the victims on the other crimes aren't, but in that area we saw a good drop, and I think a significant drop considering the amount that we had last year. But I'll get into the details on our next page. Traffic collisions are kind of holding. We went up, we had a couple injury ones. The good thing is none of them are related to speed. There's inattentive turns, and those, like you said, they just happen. We do finally have some stability in our motor unit, and they have been working consistently out, and I even recommended, I'm not sure who recommended it, somebody in the audience recommended it, either last meeting or the meeting before, about the speeders on Little Park Road, especially around center. So they've been told that that's an area they need to concentrate on, and they have been. Another area that I'm super stoked about is suspicious activity calls. So those were actually almost doubled since last year. And that's basically what we've been preaching since I got here is mm-hmm. call.
Thank you.
And what's funny is that if you look at the suspicious activity calls and the disturbance calls, not only one of those out of, so you have 37 and 47, or whatever the,
yeah.
You can do the math on it. Whatever that equals to, only one of them actually was something, and that was the camera that we've been discussing the last thing, where
yeah.
they hid the camera and the thing.
How'd they make that call in? They said that's suspicious activity.
Suspicious know, and sometimes it comes in as suspicious activity in a car, suspicious person, suspicious circumstances. So I kind of jumbled mm-hmm. that into one
right.
group. But the good news is people are seeing it and they're calling. So I yeah, definitely yeah. see that as a good thing.
The homeowner found that camera, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
So and a lot of times homeowner don't. What happens?
They yeah, it's crazy.
They burn the house and then they grab that thing on their way out and they use it on the next one. Mm-hmm. So it is a really good find by that.
Yeah.
So. That's great because it gives us some meat to put in the next monthly letter.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We can take a positive here and say, look what you're doing.
Did they go?
Calling. You're putting the guys to work instead of. Of having them sit down there eating donuts and coffee. We don't say that. We say, call. Yeah. So that's great. Thank you.
Yes, absolutely.
Did they investigate that at all to find out if it was a neighbor?
Yes, we actually did submit it over to our forensic computer detail. And like I said, it takes a lot of
yeah, yeah.
how do you want to get in the technological right. aspect of it. But it's a wireless feed, so they're trying to see what they can get out of it. Imagine if they were monitoring it, they'd probably just cut ties with it as soon as we grabbed it.
So. I wonder how long that wireless feed can...
That's a good point. I don't know, because I don't know how long, if we have any data on how long they actually case these places for and how long they keep these cameras in place.
Right, because
most people never find them.
Because, yeah, you would think if it's wireless, they'd have to be pretty close to monitoring it close, I would think.
And battery operated, too.
Yeah, battery operated.
Know. You can get...
Yeah, I guess you could just
you can do a Ring camera. I can do my home. I could be in across the country and pick up my...
But that's using your Wi-Fi from your house.
Yeah.
They're using a Wi-Fi that
has
to be...
They got a hotspot now. They can just... Yeah.
There's so many hotspots now.
Yeah.
There's so many hotspots. Maybe... See, the other thing is they may have picked the hotspot from, or the wireless from the... Unless people have their locked. Like, our neighbors don't lock their internet. My kids told me that.
That's a good point. That could be a way they pick a house.
Yeah, yeah.
They find a house that doesn't have a locked one. And
yeah.
I mean, we do, but we have a password to get password protect, but our neighbor's next door, and I said to him, hey.
Yeah, because out of all these things, the one that irks me the most is that camera.
Oh, for sure.
Well, it irks me, but it also gives me a little bit of hope, too.
Yeah.
Because we've been telling people, look at
yeah.
bushes, look at all the hidden spots, fix your lighting. So
crazy.
So baby steps. Yeah, another, like I said, it's something that comes up in our reports. And like I said, I know we had a couple phone calls. We just unfortunately had kind of an uptick in natural deaths over the last 3 months of the year. So I just don't want anybody to be, because like I said, it comes up on the blogger. Nothing suspicious or anything. All natural appears. One of those, unfortunate facts of life.
Age. Average age. A lot of us 80-year-old plus...
You're not 80.
I'm 87.
77.
Different day.
Don't tell anybody.
It's because you got your dosing outfit on, looking all well, so on the back, I know we talked about kind of getting into some of the details of it. Again, the crime against summary, or crime against person summary, is very isolated, anecdotal at best. It's just to kind of give me an overview. Most things that happen here are inside the home, right? Very few things happen here in the parking lot or in the stores. It's usually something within the home that is pretty much completely out of our control, right? All we can do is deal with it on the backside and make sure that we follow up with it depending on what kind of incident it is. But the crimes against property, there's a couple of interesting trends. You'll notice in the one that we've been really, really harping on, the burglaries, 22 to 23, great numbers, right? And I thoroughly miss this because the message we're getting out to the community, but also because of the work that our guys are doing.
Mm-hmm.
The one that's kind of getting up on our radar now is the stolen vehicles. And there's a lot of them that are unfortunately creating an opportunity for people that are just driving by and they see, keys in the car and the car's running and it's just sitting there, okay? But then the other one we're seeing is these nice work trucks that are parked on the street. They're becoming a target. And so I'm going to keep an eye on that and see if there's anything that we can do about it. The Dodge Rams we've noticed. I know there was some talk about some like the Kias and Hyundais and how people are, finding ways to get in those. So maybe there's something with the Dodge Ram that it's like our poor guy.
We can capture the remote.
Well, the guy next door had his Dodge Ram. It's a certain year. They don't have the same security. Mm-hmm. That's a new one.
I see.
So anything up to 2010 did not have the same model security, so he
told us that. We had three, there were 21s and 22s.
Okay, well, that's...
And one guy had his 22 stolen twice in 4 days.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. That was the one.
That's the one on Lincoln?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yep, on the 20th and the 24th. Same $80,000 program. So
you guys recovered it, and then it got stolen a second time?
Yeah, we recover things pretty quick.
Yeah.
As long as it doesn't get damaged.
Wow.
It's crazy.
And most things, most 503, when you see a 503 report or a stolen vehicle report, most things that happen, it'll come out as a report call, but chances are we find it in a parking lot, we find it on the street, or we find it down the street, or they left it at a friend's house. There's some sort of, it's not always the typical somebody broke in and stole my car type situation. So.
Family member took it.
Yeah.
That's so many of those.
Parts of the community or, were there lights or anything?
No, a lot of it's actually guests to the community. It's the contractors and workers that come in and park their work trucks and vehicles. And they, a lot of, especially if when I was doing contracting work before I worked for Sheriff, you park your car on the street and you're going to your car, getting tools and stuff all the time. And when they see the car there kind of left unattended, plus all the tools, you get two different opportunities. I can take this car, go down there, get the tools out, leave the car, and that's happened a couple times. Or I can just take the tools and go off and that.
Yeah, for a long time we were having gardeners taking from each other.
Oh, right. Yes.
And that was a big problem initially, so we get reports, when I first got here, a lot of reports. Gardeners have their equipment in, they go back in the backyard, and next thing you know.
Yeah, and now I have a better leaf blower.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. My dad caught one on his cameras a couple years ago.
I don't know if they all go out looking for it, but sometimes when that opportunity is there and somebody leaves it wide open for somebody, it's like, leaving the keys in my car or my wallet. There you go. I don't hope so. I don't think anybody's coming here to do that specifically, but when they see it, and then the petty theft numbers are up, but luckily that's kind of a lower level thing, and it's something that we've been doing. I kind of sent my investigative team into the shopping center quite a few times, and it's funny, they'll go through Ralph's and they'll find a sweet old lady with a cart and her purse over there, and she's searching through the stuff over here. And so it's little things like that we're just trying to educate people on watching their stuff. Because there's certain people that prey victim, they hunt those type of people to do that. And it's usually, we've seen a lot of Romanian nationals come in and do that. We've caught a lot of them. Oddly enough, they steal from themselves too. No honor amongst thieves. We just gotta keep people from, keep the purse closed, keep it on your shoulder.
Yep.
So my wife's purse is never on her purse, never on the cart. So.
Don't buy gift cards.
And the gift cards, that's a new scam of things. There's plenty of safe places to get gift cards where you go and get them out of like a secure. But the gift cards that are just hanging there now, that's maybe something Neighborhood Watch can do some education on too.
And I know that the reason why I bring that up is my mom was a victim. She bought one for my wife right off the rack there, hadn't been altered to the best of her vision and what she saw. Got home, wife goes to $5. Trying to send a message here, and sure enough, there was some theft, and we were able to track some things down. The store did have some significant policies and procedures to try to thwart it, but they can't watch it all the time.
It'll be curious in the next year or so to see what those type of setups, if they change, go away, get modified a little bit. Like the Sam's Club Costco setup, it seems to be the ideal way where you just bring... That, and then you get a receipt, and then you go to a locked case, and that one hasn't been altered.
Yeah, I think that really is the best way.
I do it with cigarettes. Why not?
Yeah. Me too. So, like I said, without getting too far into the weeds, any questions about anything?
It's fantastic.
Yeah, the jewelry store, is that under grand theft?
Actually, that is under, I think the jewelry store happened before the fourth quarter. That was considered a burglary. What they did is they came in through the bagel meat into there. That's definitely a burglary. I believe that that happened quite a few months before the fall.
Mm-hmm. It happened in the early fall.
And we actually, that was our first visit as far as my crime prevention team, was to go in there and say, what do you got going on and how can we make this better? Because it was very unsatisfactory. So not to say that he needs to shore up the wall between him and the middle, but there was a lot of things that were questionable about that case. And the fact that it happened.
Inside job.
Happened before, like a while back or two.
Mm-hmm. And the stats for us, which look fantastic, by the way, so is that normal for most of Orange County, or is it the rise?
I know. I mean, the burglaries are still out of control.
I was going to say, these...
You shook it up a little bit, and like I said, the guys try to do a good job at it, but their fortune is getting just pounded with burglaries. That crew that we arrested made a big impact in that.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, the South American crews aren't going away. We put a big chunk of the LA gangsters away, but there's still some out there.
Yeah, like where I work, you're not getting that clean of a report, you know? It's just not happening. So you guys are doing fantastic.
Agreed.
Thank you. I had a question about Ring.
About what?
The Ring program that you mentioned earlier, the Ring camera. That was supposed to be a tip-off for thefts, that they were using that. They could go to like a garage door opening. Mm-hmm. They could access that and
access the Ring footage.
Access the Ring footage and then scope the house, find nobody there, didn't have to go to it, then send a crew in.
Well, you can now Ring, you can lock your Ring, so even my kids can't get my Ring, the Ring, to see what's on there. I can, okay. My wife can, but you can lock. There's setup now. Ring has advance a lot of their stuff, so I can lock out who has access to it, and without passwords. I mean, passwords are the key. If you have real basic, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 passwords.
I think he might be referring to someone being able to, like you can do with a car remote.
Yes.
So like, so basically, how they're getting most of these cars is they're driving up to the driveway, they're searching for a key fob, and once they get it, it's going to unlock your truck.
Right.
So they're getting in between the two signals. So I think what you're referring to is getting in between the Ring signal and the camera signal and then them viewing it, right?
Well, frankly, I'm not that clear on it, so I need a little education, I think.
Yeah.
That's the first I've heard of people accessing the actual...
No, see, Ring is hooked to your server, typically, mm-hmm. in your house.
Okay.
So if they've got if you've got locked servers at your own house, it's hard to get access to it. You know, it's very difficult to get to it, and if you lock in your Ring. However, if you don't do that, if you open it up and you don't put all the security measures, then you're really much, you're opening up access to a lot of things.
Okay. Well, by shutting down, we have to access our computers with a code, with a word.
Right. That's locked.
That's
so
locked.
A lot of people literally don't have, my next door neighbors do not have their servers locked. So my kids, when our servers go down, because we're on Spectrum, right? When our servers go down, I was the other day, I said, hey, they went down. And he said, no, it didn't work. Okay, Dad, I just looked into my next door neighbors. Said, really? Did they give you, oh, that's not even passworded. So not password protected, so they just lock in. So I was like, really? Okay.
Oh, you mean their Wi-Fi. Yeah.
Their Wi-Fi, yeah. You can get into Wi-Fi and get into it. And if they don't password protect it, you can lock it. You can tell, because it'll go to all the networks around you. If you go on your phone or go anywhere, you can see. But if they're locked, you can't get into them. It doesn't matter. You can see they're there, but you can't get into them.
Okay.
But the neighbors have them, and you just get into them. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's like an open... I mentioned it to him, and he said, we're not worried about it.
If I had a concern with Ring and stuff, it's be with the... And I don't know if they're connected, but the Nextdoor app, is that a Ring app?
No.
It's not.
Nextdoor is an individual
post
app.
Ring footage Ring stuff on it, and yes. And then there's a compatibility.
Yeah,
there
I think there's a. Yeah.
To be able to do it, yeah. But
it's not a connection. It's not a. It's an app connection. It's separate. Mm-hmm. Ring and okay. Neighborhood.
But there are things that people post on Nextdoor app, and these burglary crews study right. The Nextdoor app. And this, I haven't seen that be on my street. 2 years.
Oh, yeah.
Do, right?
Yeah, they said that in the meeting. They're like, there's only one deputy. I'm like, hey, let's not say that.
What you see isn't
not
true,
say that.
But now you just advertise. Hey,
yeah. And most of the time in the day, there's way more than that. So.
Oh, yeah, any given time.
Yeah, there's,
I guarantee you there's more than one deputy.
Yeah.
whether they're writing reports in our parking lot and our...
Or they're coming over from El Medina or something like that. So I'm like, hey, let's not start throwing out there how many deputies are here.
Don't publish a playbook.
Yeah.
So the bottom line with the Ring is as long as you password protect it, you're fine. Okay. It's like your phone. If you don't password protect your phone, or you do bare basic, like some people have, like Eric was saying, have very simple passwords. Mm-hmm. There's a reason you go 8 characters with different features in there, and you don't use the same password for every device you have. Right? I mean, there's a lot of reasons to do that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not kidding. My kids, they know who in the neighborhood has password protected stuff and whatever. It's like, how do you figure that out? I just go online, Dad. You just check this and that, whatever. Yeah. Okay. Unfortunately, they're very savvy. Some of the kids are very savvy, and I'm sure the crooks are very savvy on this stuff too. So with technology, that's why you see the consistent updates to this stuff, because...
Yeah, update it.
They update for security reasons. They've got new measures and things they realize, so... Anyway, Neighborhood Watch, you want to...
Yep, anyone else on the Sheriff's Report? No? Neighborhood Watch?
Yes, sir. We picked up 4 new members from our...
From the meeting?
From the meeting last... I wanted to apologize, too. I got a little exercised on that situation of the fellow that was over here. I think he was aged. I don't think he was the worrier that kept saying, why it wouldn't work. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's why I asked him if he was a member of Neighborhood Watch. No, he wasn't. And that's a 30-year-old question that I just really don't understand why people don't take advantage of it. Not a personal thing, and I know they don't owe me or Mary, but at any rate, I'll keep asking that, but I'll try to cool my heels a little bit and not be quite so forceful with it. I tried to make it clear to other... We had a good crowd. That was a great meeting, I thought. Mm-hmm. At any rate, we also did a little data check in our files, too. We realized that several of the members that we've been counting were the husband and the wife, and then an older adult's child or something. So we went back and started counting households. So we have about 250 households right now, give or take. And that's good, because if they move out of town, you can see that change.
You have 250, that's about 10%, because we have roughly 2,000 uh-huh. residences in the city. So you're probably just slightly over 10%.
Yeah, I wonder why people don't sign up.
I had a couple ideas that I've written down. Do we have any banners that we can put on the corners for, like, sign up for Neighborhood Watch? I think PR would go a long way.
You know, I'm thinking the same thing. I did point at one that last item was we're going to try to get that home security fair again this year, whatever fits the Sheriff's Department for a date. We'd like it in March or April while school is still in session, because we get a better turnout that way.
Yeah, last year was not good.
No, it wasn't worth all the effort. The Sheriff's Department had all their crew here. I felt badly for them because they didn't get the turnout they should have.
Well, maybe the banner can have announcing both Neighborhood Watch and the fair.
And
for sure.
The fair is the first time we did the fair really was great.
Yeah. A lot of people show up.
Is there something else you can combine it with?
Yeah, could you combine it with something that, like...
Well, we used to, but the Sheriff's Department wants their... They want to match... what do they call it?
National Night Out.
National Night Out.
Well, what about that? That's on...
That's when we did it.
Tell me what I want to
do. Wait a minute. You're telling I can be here one day less? What?
I think even though just having a Neighborhood Watch... I know that, like, Mike could put out, like, during these lulls, like when we don't have activities, you know, it's a good reminder. Maybe even put a QR code on it where, like, you know, when they just click on it, it goes right to the email to sign up, you know, something like that, just some PR. And then also I noticed it's a little buried on the city website. You have to go to departments, public safety, and then Neighborhood Watch. I was wondering if we could also put that page under organizations, because we don't just have Rotary Women's League under organizations. We also have Marine Thanksgiving. We have area youth programs. Mm-hmm. I think it would be a good fit, because I looked there, before I went to public safety, because I figured, you know, it's a neighborhood group. So I went to organizations first. Is it possible to kind of boost the visibility a little bit too?
Sure.
Even to that point, because I think that's really very good analysis. Make it its own, like, boom, you don't have to go to anything else. It's the first thing you see.
Yeah, just a little neighborhood watch symbol, people could...
I like having it under, like, the organization, because it's almost like a... Because there's so many people, what I've learned since I've been here, is there's so many people that volunteer to do... They want to be a part of something.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And if it's under organizations, they go, well, maybe not that. Well,
okay.
That sounds good. Give them a banner and an app.
Yeah. Okay.
Because I've given people I've talked to that don't even have any idea.
And we've been probably neglecting.
Well, you just really have to.
Sitting in front of Ralph
show
on Saturday.
People, you have to hold their hand.
Hard on yourself.
Remember how hard it was just to get people
out there with the Girl Scouts?
It's been 12 years just to get people to lock their cars.
Yeah.
And they still don't. But we really haven't. I haven't. Mary works hard at it. She really does. She keeps track of the stuff. Maybe it's me feeling guilty because I haven't done as much.
Get on it. What are you waiting for?
Banner and website.
Picture, man.
Yeah, I was just going to say that one thing, though, too, is that when you go to the Neighborhood Watch, it's not a site or anything, right?
No.
So does Neighborhood Watch itself have a site that's generic and you can plug a city into it? And
all they got to do is reply if they have a question. It's going out to these 250. We're asking them, every month, we ask them to pass it on to their neighbors.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm saying, like, the Neighborhood Watch itself, like, if you went to it, it doesn't break Neighborhood Watch down by cities, or a city couldn't, or whoever's in charge of Neighborhood Watch couldn't have their own website of Villa Park Neighborhood Watch. Like, they don't have a template and all that. It seems like they would.
They have a page on the website.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's not its own website, which, you know, because you could even put all that updated stuff in the...
Yeah, I think that's probably a good plan. What you see, we're sending it out to these 250 going out every month.
Well, mm-hmm.
And we have some turnover, too. We've got new people coming in.
What I've found that works in some other places that we patrol is do you have the block captains type thing? Or?
We did that for a while, but people didn't want to take the responsibility for getting acquainted with their neighbors officially.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, you really have to find that person with the right personality that wants to be out and take over that, not take over the block, but take over responsibility for introducing people, having that, you know, whether it's just once a year, get together in the front yard with some refreshments, you know, we'll come out, Scott will come out.
Well, we've done that. But only where we can, if you talk to them about these suggestions, and we have a list of them, things you can do as a block captain. We found that they back off. They don't want to take that much responsibility. And we figured if we can get the word out to the numbers, then we'll do better than if trying to buttonhole somebody. And somebody down the block isn't as good at catching stuff, or their house is a reverse plan. So they're focused on their rear yard. They aren't even aware of it. And that's partly us. We're right on the corner, perfect bird's eye view of what's going on on Vida and Montana as well, clear up to Francisco and down to...
And that's where most of the Neighborhood Watch is at.
Yeah, that's the ideal thing. But we find we have a neighbor that's far more interested in keeping track of everybody and their business. And she's very good. She calls us and tips us off on stuff that happens.
Good for her.
And we've known her for 60 years. So
as far as the banner goes, I'm happy to donate them. Do you want me just to call Mark and have him do something?
It's up to whatever if they want to do.
Let's come up with a plan at first, and then we'll see how we can fill it in.
Let me know what you would like to see on it.
Okay. Yeah, I'll talk to Mary about it.
Great.
And give her a call if you want. You're in the knitting group.
We're in Stitchery, I can talk to her about it.
Yeah, put her down. But let's do. Let's figure a little more publicity and more active effort.
Yeah.
I'll talk to her about it, too. And I'll
what
do
month
it.
Is National
if,
Night Out?
If it means.
Or I'm happy to donate it. Yeah.
I know.
I think that's the day that fair should be.
Easy enough.
It's in
so the Home Security Fair, we'll work on that first. And get that set on the calendar.
Right.
Only when you get the people out. Although
that was bad too.
We came up with some locks on Swaggers during the heat of the summer that are very simply cost under $10. you haven't screwed on the side of your sliding glass door, and it's just like a bolt. And you drill a hole in the casing above it, and you slide the thing up there, and you can leave the door open less than a body width. Even only 3 inches will work. And that gets you cross ventilation in your house. And it's amazing how quickly a home will reduce the cost of cooling if you open that up about 4 in the afternoon, because we get the prevailing breeze from the ocean at about that hour. And I've seen it drop the temperature in the house 10 degrees in about 20 minutes. That's happened with us. So that's one of the things I bring a set of those. And people always say, where do you get those? You know, I say, well, Home Depot. Then I got a call. They didn't carry them with people. So that's something we'll show at the fair.
Well, what other events are around that time that we do? I mean, I can only think of
nothing
Halloween.
Nothing in the springtime.
Yeah, spring's a little light. Fest. Yeah, fall, winter.
Halloween fest is in the fall, and everything's fall and winter.
What's the most attended fest? Out?
Halloween.
Halloween.
Fest. Nowruz, if the foundation's going to do that again.
No, they're not going to do that.
I think you add it to something like Halloween. I mean, last year.
That's not a bad idea.
Because you're going to have a ton of people here. You might as well.
Well, let's try it.
Add it to something where there's a bunch of people already coming.
Yeah,
we best
so
plan yet.
Halloween Fest.
I know
we did not show
that. It kind of fits.
It was horrible.
Well, and the fire department's there. They always bring the truck out and something.
We can recreate National Night Out at the Halloween Fest.
Yeah.
You guys put it where you want us, or you can get the message out.
And with the home security fair, maybe it's a home safety fair. We get the fire authority to come out and bring a bunch of smoke detectors.
You have the sheriff and the fire department and the Halloween stuff, and that's really all you need.
Yeah,
and then
really
obviously your booth.
We don't need the whole trucks and crew and the dog catcher and all that. We really just need basically safety equipment, prevention, or any equipment.
Well, Wayne, have at the Halloween Fest. We already have the fire truck.
Yeah.
We already
Everybody's
have a lot
already.
Of sheriffs.
Yeah, a lot of sheriffs are already there.
Yeah, we already have the explorers.
They're out one day of having to do that.
I mean, there's already a really good sheriff presence.
Yep.
Good.
And then, does that neighborhood watch booth? I mean, did you have...
Yeah, that picks up 3 or 4 every year.
Yeah, but I don't remember. Is there a banner?
A banner?
Yeah, for it, or is it just a sign?
When we create homes...
Well, when we get a banner for the corners, and we'll take those back and put them on the booth. Because I every time I walk down there, I know you're there, and I don't really. I think maybe people just miss the opportunity.
Well, I'm usually the barker. I go out
front
and pull them in, and Mary talks to them while I go get some more. And that's worked best last year. I think we got 8 or 9.
Yeah.
Good salesman.
Recruit.
Right. One at a time. Okay. Anything else?
No. I think. Let's let it go at that. I'm going to work with Nicole and see if we can. She's got some good ideas here.
Yeah.
The license plate readers, we had a meeting, obviously, at the town hall. Did you want to speak? Is that the item you wanted to speak on?
I guess there were just a couple of questions that there was a big crowd, so we couldn't ask one. I asked a question about how much this is going to cost. I mean, there's the installation cost, and then there's the ongoing cost.
Right.
And the configuration, like if you look at Villa Park Road, you have 5 lanes combined. Do you have to have 5 cameras on that?
No.
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 You can work with 2 cameras, one going one way, the other. Okay. I think I mentioned that day, but you guys, it's kind of, I can see why this is helpful, but, I mean, if you just have the cameras on Villa Park Road and Taft, just those two roads, you're going to accumulate a couple million images a month,
mm-hmm.
which, kind of seems like, using an Abrams tank for the, we've been very blessed with the numbers that we have. It just seems to be an awful lot of money and effort, and there I will say, somebody that's worked in the data industry, I know you know, we all have good intentions, but a lot of times when you get a lot of data, that data can get misused. And I'm sure that's one of the concerns, that there are people in the community about that.
Kind of to address the part where you're saying you're going to get all this data and we don't have a huge problem, right? So it's more for the fact of, if you were to catch, I don't know when that was, about a year ago, the guys came in, drove through Villa Park. I think they did end up stealing something. Then eventually got caught, and there's some traffic accidents and stuff like that. So let's say those cameras were used for that. And let's say it's reported that those cameras are used for that. Well, that also says, hey, you know, the city of Villa Park's got cameras, okay? So really, at the end of the day, the biggest benefit is the city of Villa Park has cameras. It's maybe not the total benefit of the fact that we had 5 burglaries, right? A small amount of crime, which is fantastic. But you're also not getting the point across that when someone does come in and then we don't catch them. This gives the 5, right, the 5 burglaries, a possibility of catching 1. Maybe 2? I don't know. Even if it was just 1 and that got proven for those cameras, you're talking a huge effect of the surrounding area going, wait a minute, they got cameras there. So we don't really want to go. And it's such a small city, they might have cameras on the whole entire city. Right? So it's more of...
it's a deterrence.
It's a huge deterrence.
And I do understand.
Yeah.
And again, I can see how it can be very helpful. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at it from the opposite side of
cost.
The what seems to be the accumulation of information, and I, you know, Wayne's always, he's always saying, hey, you don't have privacy. Mm-hmm. In a lot of cases, you don't.
Mm-hmm.
But it just seems to be, you know, a chipping away at some privacy.
Right.
That we could. And I'm, you know, who's the gentleman that made the presentation? Dan?
Dave.
You know, there are, again, since I come out of the data industry, you know, I looked at the policy that's supposedly in place for the license plate readers. That's not in conformance to the Senate bill that was passed back in 16 about, you know, showing a variety of different things. And if you did have it, I would think people would probably feel better about the privacy issues if there were more robust audits in there, and maybe even a non-department audit. You have, you know, someone from outside doing the audit. That would make people feel better about that. Okay, yeah, it's not just the sheriff's department and the police department, because you're just kind of watching it. And,
you got it.
You know, I just think, you know, those kinds of things would be helpful to get people over the hump about the privacy issue.
What do you want them to audit?
Well, I want, you know, specifically the, you have in there that, you know, whoever gets access to it has to be trained and so forth, has to be logged. And it's not, and I think it's not so much the local guys, but it's anybody, you know, if somebody in California makes a request, they can get access to it if they're, you know, they're qualified as trained and so forth. Was somebody from Reading, why did they, you know, did they really need to do that, audit that? And somebody from out of state?
In all of those databases, and maybe you can speak to this too, we have access to so many informational databases, from full-on criminal histories, mm-hmm. to just your DMV records. And I could run your name right now and get a ridiculous amount of information.
Okay.
And every time you do that, it's all captured. It's all auditable, it's reportable,
mm-hmm.
and depending on how the level of information, you actually have to put in the reason why you're accessing.
Yep.
And the same thing will happen, except there's already things I have access to on my phone that I can't access unless I put in there why I need that access.
Mm-hmm.
A report number, a case number, a date of incident. So there are so many.
And the feds, DOJ, is on the whole entire thing. I just today had to take a 6-hour test just to get my access for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have all departments have huge policies on how you access that and use that. Massive amount.
Yeah, I'm not.
But then there's, was the policy followed? Did somebody review it?
Oh, well, there's someone would, there's.
And there's red flags too.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, yes. I think all three of us could we know somebody that's been
yep.
either disciplined or fired
for
misusing the system.
I yes. guess
one of my classmates okay. was fired for misusing
yep.
the system.
Same.
Yep.
And if I can just, you know, pipe in, you know, the state of California also audits all these systems. They yep. do official audits. Because I had made some notes about their 2020 audits where they did find some deficiencies. Like they said that there needed to be more robust documented usage and retention policies. Stored data needed to be more secure. Mm-hmm. They need to make sure that agencies that they share data with have the right to receive that information.
Yeah.
So those were all 2020 recommendations that have subsequently had action, you know, by law enforcement and by these private companies like Flock and Vigilant to kind of make that more robust. So the state also has a level of oversight and does audit those.
And the state of California has its own law enforcement yep. agencies use a variant of one of these systems or all of these systems.
Yes.
So,
in fact, I think the state just funded like six cities to get all cameras.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the state could actually come in and say, we're putting all these cameras up in Bell Park.
Right.
Okay. And then the other part of that is that really what they're gaining access to is a car driving in and out of the street. Like, I know there's a lot of questions like, well, they could start doing code enforcement by that. No, unless you live on, you know, Wanda and Catella and your yard's there, I mean, you know, it's just impossible. And I get the whole Big Brother thing and all that. But all of that information, I think they're capturing, if you go to, where's that camera on Catella? I want to say there's one on... I'll find for sure where it's at, but they're probably already capturing you, right? You know, and that doesn't make it, you know, doesn't make it any better or easier to swallow, but all that information is out there. The fact with these things is that it's not information about your house or you, photos of you, you know. It's just really a license plate. That's all it's centering on. And it doesn't care about your license plate unless somebody goes in and looks for your license plate.
All I'm suggesting is if you decide to go through with the license plate reader, again, I can see why it is, I think you should probably document some of these privacy things like you're saying more up front to get past mm-hmm. the privacy issue.
You mean for information to go out and explain to people?
Say, you know, while we're doing this, here are the safeguards from a privacy perspective. Boom, 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 boom.
It's a good suggestion, but I think that's the whole point of the two town halls we
had,
which is to allow residents who do have those concerns, who are versed in the data industry, who do have concerns like Mr. Stone had, to have that outreach, to have that forum to say, hey, Captain Patella, what is the sheriff's department? You know, how are they addressing this? What is the data they're actually collecting, how is it being used? So that's being fleshed out. That can be, I guess, further fleshed out, but I think that's the whole point of meetings. And there will be an opportunity for public discussion once council, assuming council does get it, for folks to raise it yet again. So it's
yeah, and us here, we don't say whether they're getting it or not. We just kind of put our little two cents in. And it's kind of good because most of the people have some sort of law enforcement background.
Yeah, I'm messaging is really important.
100%. 100%.
Absolutely. I
have some, you know, messaging concerns about when we get to the fireworks side. You know, I think we're sending, you know, the messaging that we put in the city newsletters and so forth is not pointing out the issues, you know, hey, the little sparkler, hey, that's fine. But the other issues, you know, that's kind of buried down, you know, three paragraphs in. And how do you, you know, if people are using it, how do you report it? And hopefully we'll solve that.
So go ahead.
Oh, if I could just outline one of my major concerns about this, because I did call Flock because I missed the presentation that they did here, and I apologize for that. I wasn't on the email, so I didn't even know it was happening. But when I spoke to him about it, he said we would probably need 10 cameras to start at minimum, which he estimated could at most cover 4 intersections. Mm-hmm. So using taxpayer funds, how do we decide which of our residents are covered and which aren't? because, you know, there will be whole pockets of our community that someone can get in and out without ever crossing a camera. So we're spending their tax dollars and they're not even covered by a camera. I'm really wrestling.
They are covered.
I totally disagree with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they're totally covered. That's the main access.
Traffic in and out of the city is being looked at. I mean, my address on such and such street is being assisted because that crime is being looked at here and here. Mm-hmm. So the major routes of ingress and egress out of this city, those detection points, I don't need one in front of my house. I don't want one necessarily there, nor do I need one at the intersection right above my street.
Nor would they make sense to do that.
Nor would it make any sense. And with respect to the comments made by the flock representative, I think that conversation is one-sided. The ladies and gentlemen that wear the green uniforms, I think they really need to weigh in on that. That is a one-sided argument that I think really falls short of painting the true picture, true and accurate picture of what we need and where we're at. So just with respect.
Yeah, no. My whole thing is Orange doesn't have them, and Orange has no plans to have them. So basically, you know, we're the hole in the center of the donut. So anytime they go in and out of Villa Park, you know, they're going into a black hole. So if you've got one, say, on Taft and one on Villa Park Road, well, they can come in from Orange off of Collins, go into Fernando Vita, and go back out, and then they never cross a camera. So, I mean, you know, with all due respect, I do think that we will have pockets where our residents aren't covered.
Oh, yeah.
Because of Orange. If Orange had them, I think it's a completely different conversation.
It's not necessarily the residents aren't covered. It's just there are avenues of ingress and egress.
That pocket
of residents, like,
but
there's
nothing to say that the crook that hits that neighborhood goes that way or goes this way.
Correct.
So that's a game of chance. We're not going to create an iron dome around Villa Park. We can only do based on popular ways to get to the freeway, mm-hmm. where are most of our crooks coming from, going to, and then where do my investigators believe we're going to get the most bang for our buck? Mm-hmm. Is everything going to be covered?
And because Orange doesn't have them doesn't mean that it's the smartest move not to have them.
And with all respect to Orange, they're a city that's struggling right now.
Yeah.
Especially their law enforcement agency, and due respect
and their crime rate is
to the accomplishments of their former police chief and current city manager. They're struggling, and they've struggled for a while, and they're going to continue to struggle because based upon decisions past and present that they have made and are currently making. So hopefully they catch up, but we can only hope the best for them. But the bottom line is, I don't think, as Eric said, we should base our decisions on what they're doing, because with respect, I don't think that's worked.
Yeah,
and we're better.
Well, and I do think
we should attract
savvy criminal. You know, they're breaking in on second floors. They're using cameras to case residences. You know, these are not people that are just, you know, pulling up in the dead of night trying to break into a random house. You know, they're doing their homework. So I am a little concerned that, you know, they do their homework, they find out we've only got four intersections covered, and then suddenly, you know, like Fernando and Vita, just to use my example, you know, they have several burglaries while these areas covered by cameras don't have any. Mm-hmm. And then what does that say for the money that we've spent and who?
Well, you're going for the biggest bang for the buck.
Yeah.
You're not going to cover everything.
Yeah.
And I don't think that, it's not even realistic actually, because there's no cities that go out and try to cover every aspect. They try to cover
and you can't.
Yeah, you can't do it. Yeah. So no one's going to know where those cameras are, I presume, right? So.
Well, I mean, you can tell though, right?
I don't think there's enough, research on whether they've done their homework on where the cameras are. We can drive through an intersection and see if they're cameras, but do we know what the capability of that is? That a traffic camera?
Is it a stationary?
Is it a three-lane camera? Is it a single-lane camera? Is it even turned on?
Right. And if we wanted to, we could put a dummy camera on every intersection.
I was just going to say, I mean, would it be a benefit when we install these just to get a few dummy ones and put those around just to...
I would say like that
said,
would
the deterrent aspect is important
yeah,
to
so
the system.
Yeah, so I mean, you could do that. That would be my opinion. Up to, I'm sure they have guys that are way better at this than we are, mm-hmm. right? You know,
And I know we got into the rabbit trail at both town halls. This is not just for those planned burglars that come in. This is for that once in a lifetime,
yes.
like community changing event where
horrible mass casualty incident
does something at the school or at the shopping center mm. or somebody's out and either somebody's in the back of a car or the stuff you can't even make up.
Right, like a crime, a now crime where the person decided right now this is what I'm doing, I'm kidnapping this right. kid and I'm out. They didn't check to see where cameras were, they didn't check that.
Okay,
that's where you're really, yeah, yep. fastest way out, and that's where you're really looking at, you know, a lot of people get caught, a lot of people get thrown in jail based on one camera taking one picture. Right? And yes, is the amount of people that get caught compared to the amount of how much money is on the cameras and how many crimes are, yeah, it may not even out, or it may not show its value in that, but it will show its value. If something happens at one of the schools, it's going to show its value, you know, if something major happens, right? Let alone we'll get all the little minor things that are happening. And also, the bottom line is we actually are giving Orange a little bit of a heads up, because guess what? Mm-hmm. They're going to throw that license into that stuff. I don't know if they have access to it if they don't pay for it.
No, and that's the thing too, is we will have access to it as well if we do it early.
Right.
So we're just kind of doing our part to play the sandbox that everybody has to, because we have access. My guys have access to all the boxes.
Right. So it's like almost like an outreach, like, hey, you know, Villa Park's doing for you. Right, yeah. Type thing.
Oh yeah, because what's to say something's not happening in Norton?
And they come through, right?
Yeah.
And
right.
So we're helping that out. And to be honest, you know, at the end of the day, that's really how everything's going to eventually, you know, there's going to be more success. Just since they got them, which I was working patrol when they got the very first, what is it, ARP, LRP?
Advanced LPR.
Yeah, yeah. LPR. Yeah, and those were only on cars. So, and you guys have those already, right? Yeah, so I mean, we're going into all of that. So all that is just going to help it out, you know, tremendously. Now, I know we tried this about 10 years ago, and, you know, it kind of fizzled out. But the last two times I've at the meetings, I'm looking at like 90% are like, yeah, let's do it.
Technology's way more accepted now. I get an email from Google saying everywhere I've been last night, I'm like, oh, jeez.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
My phone told me to go to the meeting and gave me the directions
around,
today.
Like, you know, scratch the service out of the stuff that we're going to be able to do is, it's all above board.
Yeah.
I mean, there's going to be a time where you can call 911 on your phone and the operation center is up. They can send you a link and you hit OK. You can live feed whatever you want to. That way we can see exactly what you're saying. So, it's crazy in a good way. So, it's just, you know.
Yeah, I just wanted to outline.
No, I know. And it's good because I think that the more everyone understands it, the ones that don't want to stomach it and think it's an invasion and what the cost, I think the more everybody talks about it, the more maybe someone says something the right way and it clicks that there's just really no way, like the cameras don't invade your privacy. Really, at the end of the day, they just don't. They're catching a number that goes by.
It's a number. It's not home address.
Yeah.
It's not somebody's face.
Yeah.
Just the
issue
number.
Is really, I mean, it's the tenor of the times right now that we've seen misuse of data across agencies across the country. And while it's sporadic, it's just say, you know, if the FBI, you know, misuse, you know, they put in false, you know, affidavits for the FISA, like, you know, that works, you know, that people see that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at the first meeting, you might have remembered there was a guy over there saying, hey, I trust you. I don't trust those guys up in Sacramento.
Right, 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 right. Absolutely.
That's the issue.
Yep. Uh-huh. I get it. I get it. But the bulk of this, it's almost like I don't know, you could take London. I'm trying to think of places that are fully CCTV, right, and, which this is not. And I know a couple of people in the audience were thinking this is just CCTV. They can see everything we're doing. And it's really not. It is just reading a number. And it's getting a very tail end of a car.
Again, it's not just, you know, it's one number. But if I drive up and down Villa Park Road, mm-hmm. you know, all of a sudden you have me in there, you know, 35 times or
90. Yeah, and you're not going to work.
it's all of that kind of stuff. And, you know, it's, again, going to the policy. When I read the policy and there's something, oh, and, you know, it's only for law enforcement, but exceptions will be handled by the records section. I go, well, what exceptions are there if it's only for law enforcement use? You know, it's that kind of stuff is what sets mm-hmm. people kind of going.
Kind of off, yeah. I wonder what those exceptions are, actually.
Homeowners Association.
The Homeowners Association.
They can purchase them. Private businesses can purchase them.
And then they have access.
Yes, there's one on Martinique. Yeah. There are two actual.
One on what?
Martinique. Just up the hill. The entrance to Martinique. Is there an association?
Oh.
There are two, I believe, in the city of Orange near the train station and parking structure. So there are two within their city.
And they determine who gets access.
Right. So.
And they can then access.
There.
There is the question, they can access what they've...
That I don't think so. I think you have to be an official agency to access
it. To access it. So they just get to...
Theirs.
They just get to choose who can access it.
Right.
So they can't choose who sees it, only accesses it.
They have the coverage. If something happens in their neighborhood, they can say, hey...
Right.
Please check our data.
Right.
Not, you know, hey, oh, it's so-and-so that lives at 1234 Main Street. They don't have access to that.
Yeah.
Which is obviously, in my opinion, they explained it wrong and of what you read, saying, you know what I mean? Because they're saying, you know, the way he said it is like they
I read the policy.
Yeah.
I
agree. That sounds
policies
bad.
Will catch up and they can take
that. Yeah.
Because technology goes so fast. By the time you rewrite the policy to catch up to it, you got this research changing it again
in 2 years.
Right.
Exactly.
Because, yeah, it says that basically a homeowner association can start looking in cameras, and that's not the case, yeah. Obviously.
And I know we're spending a lot of time on this, and we probably need to move on, but I just have a couple more questions. So going to that vehicle that was stolen twice on Lincoln, mm-hmm. how often, being as it's not just sheriff, you know, we're dealing with, like, a private company here, how often do they update the data? Because my brother-in-law actually was surrounded and thrown on the ground because his car had been stolen. It was recovered. He was driving it, and the system hadn't been updated that it was no longer stolen. And so in a case like that, how often is that data updated, especially when you involve Flock?
It's not the LPR system. The LPR system is merely a conduit for that information.
Okay.
The actual...
it was human error.
Yeah, exactly. It was human error.
It's
and
human.
It happens more often.
More often, yeah.
Because every stolen anything has a large, like, serial number that's attached to it. And it's like, what is it, 20 digits, something like that, letters and digits. And if that number is inputted wrong by the data technician, then it may not get pulled out of the system. And I think everybody that's worked in law enforcement has done a full-on felony car stop on somebody.
100%.
And
not a good time.
And you're like,
yeah.
I don't think this is the car.
Yeah.
And you kind of figure it out. And that's actually one of the things we say when people report a car stolen.
Yeah.
Is, do you realize that once you sign this, when my compadres find this down the road, we are going to stop it, point guns at this person, and pull them out of the car. It's not going to be pleasant.
It's a,
I don't think my sister's going to like that.
Right.
Hence the reason I said family members, because that's exactly what has happened. Yeah. And then there are some officers who down the road who haven't actually called in to pull the stolen vehicle out of the system. So then that results in the situation your brother was involved in, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Which, once the report's turned in, it's supposed to have a 10-hour limit.
Nothing to do with LPRs or
well,
ALPRs.
Well, I was just concerned, like, you know, the guy in Lincoln reports his car stolen. It's recovered. Then he drives by an LPR in Villa Park, and suddenly ding, 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 and, you know, he's on the ground.
Yeah.
You know?
That would be, it would have to be a car-based one, because it's not going
to... Well, even then, it's all connected. It's just... few and far between. It's mainly human error. Yeah. Not to say that glitches can't take place, yeah. But
you literally give the car back and say, "Don't drive it."
The good news is,
it takes time for us to get all that paperwork.
Error doesn't say shoot on site. It just says investigate.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And then, real quick, because when I was talking to the flock guy, he did admit that there's a significant amount of times that they have like paper plates that could be fraudulent, or you know they've switched plates with another car. How often would you say that happens with LPRs, that the plate doesn't belong with that car? Or
People use ghost plates all the time. That's okay. A standard practice amongst.
But that in and of itself is a clue for the investigation too. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So because we'll know what the plate came from.
Not necessarily a bad thing.
Okay.
That doesn't belong on a red truck. It belongs on a white Toyota.
Right.
And
does Flock check that? Or like any of these companies? I'm just using Flock because they've come and given a presentation. But, do they check that? Do they check that? Does this plate belong with this model and make a vehicle?
I don't think it does. I got to look at that. I don't know.
I would doubt that because they don't have any investigative real power.
But if it shows a snapshot of it.
And we're doing the investigation. The departments are doing the actual investigating of it.
Yeah, because he did say if there was like less than, I think it was a 90% confidence rate, then it had to have human eyes on it for any of their data that they get.
Yeah, you mean like if it couldn't read the plate?
Yeah, well, like anything, he goes, anything under 90% threshold is passed along to law enforcement, because I asked what the risk was for misidentification. If the software sees a B instead of an 8 or, anything like that.
No officer or deputy are trained to use this information as gospel. Mm-hmm. It's merely a tool to further your investigation. If I get an alarm bell going off in my patrol car, and then I go and I find this car, the first thing I'm going to do is look at the actual plate, run that actual plate with our dispatchers, and make sure that this thing, and then they're going to come back and say, that comes back to a Chevy panel van, and I actually have a Mercedes here. Mm-hmm. So then it changes their avenue of approach.
Yeah. Okay, good. Okay, thank you.
So what I kind of want is a recommendation from LAAC. I think the conversation is sort of incomplete about decision until we really know two things. One, the number of actual intersections we have to work with the sheriff, and two, we'd have to go through a process to find what the cost is going to be, because without that, the council doesn't have that complete package information. So my recommendation is that in February, we go to the council and recommend that we work with the sheriff and go out for an RFP to get those costs finalized, to get our due diligence and sort of say, here it is, now we've sort of laid this out. And I think that would be my recommendation to LAAC and the council, that we work with the sheriff and we do an RFP to get cost and numbers of, a range. They could say, well, if you cover 4 intersections or you cover 10 intersections, this is the 2 costs you're gonna deal, sort of scenarios. So I would sort of look for that until you get there. I mean, the cost may drop, because technology is improving so fast, the cost may be, they may say, the RFP, they may say, well, we want 5-year deals, or we want this or that. Mm-hmm. We don't really know. We're speculating at $3,000 a camera, roughly, ballparked. I mean, but how many intersections are we covering, and what's the sheriff recommended? What Flock says, I would totally disregard about them recommending what intersections, because they're not the law enforcement professionals who know what your major, so I think my recommendation is, let us work with the sheriff and have AJ and his staff say, these are the key intersections that we need watched. Let's go out to RFP and see what Flock and Vigilant or whatever the company, there's another third company who contacted me, I don't remember their name, from LA. Their technology kind of does that. It brings along all these whatever. But we need to get responsive bidders that are responsible bidders that can tell us, here's the true cost, and here's the intersect. Then we can go to the council with, here's the full package, not just, okay, if we're going to spend, $10,000 covering eight intersections, that's different than $100,000 to cover 4 intersections.
Right.
100%.
All right, so we kind of need to that's a big unknown that we need to do. And in that time, in the specifications in the RFP, we can say, you need to outline your procedures, you need to do all sorts of things that
you know, we can specify with the sheriff's help.
Interoperability with
yes.
the sheriff's department.
And do we have, you know, if Orange comes in, we get Flock, they get Vigilant down the road. Can they connect? Does it work with the sheriff's equipment? Does all those things? Those are the sort of assurances that we want and need. Also with upgrades, you know, software upgrades, technology improvements, or who's on the hook for some of this stuff? Do we get it in maintenance? Do we have to cover maintenance? If, say, you know, how are these, somebody cuts the wires or whatever, and they're not operational, they're of no value to us, and if they're just sitting there, I mean, you know, whatever. We could even put in there, what would be the cost of dummy cameras, obviously? What would you, because they can't come from a different company. They have to look the same, otherwise right. it's pointless. You know, you just got whatever. So
I
think.
I wonder if there's any grants, too.
The grant stuff, I mean, I'm not real trusting of the federal government. We have a Cerro Villa street project that we're unable to do because the feds promised us money. Mm-hmm. We're at full speed. It's $350,000, and then they yanked the money and said, no, we're not going to do it. So we're kind of on a hold for it. So I really don't trust these outside. We can trust ourselves because mm-hmm. we have the money. And we can build it into our operating budget if we know what we're dealing with. Mm-hmm. I'm very reluctant to rely on, you know, you change administration and money to go, comes and goes or whatever, they're sunsetting and other things. So anyway, I think the next step for us is to make a recommendation to the council to go in February for the council to authorize an RFP. Not to make the decision yes or no, but to get the next step of information. Because I think that's where we're at.
That's where you want more data.
Yeah, we need to be able to say and respond, how much is this going to cost and what's the city going to be on up for? And in 5 years, are we stuck with cameras that are obsolete, not going to be upgradable or whatever? Because pretty much if you go to an iPhone 10 right now, you can't get it supported, right? And that happens. And there's planned obsolescence in some of this. So we need to kind of work through some of that stuff.
And I'm sure you guys have done this data already.
For Villa Park?
Right, or you contract with a city that's done the data that
yes.
we could probably
get. But they would need to to look at our maps, our intersection travel routes.
And create like this is our basic coverage,
this is our intermediate coverage,
yes. this is our best.
Right, so that's
and
what,
this
I,
is what
I need,
it'll cost.
I need right. to, the, yeah. well, they won't do the cost so much. They're going to do the, give us the, the demographics mm-hmm. of here's what you need. Then we can go in the RFP and say, okay, the sheriff now recommending here, and I don't want Flock to tell me what. I want the sheriff to tell me what the key points are.
Yeah.
So that's what we need to do. So that would be my recommendation if LEAC supports going forward.
But you guys know what camera companies are
just
compatible
with
what?
Well, but we'd have to, we unfortunately, as a government agency, we'd have to throw it out to everybody. We can't go to one company and say, you're it. We have to go to the lowest responsive bidder. So in our RFP, we have to be very specific with the sheriff's help about this technology has to be, you have to be at this level of technology.
Yeah, gotcha.
You have to have this level of security. You have to have, you know,
it's like
all those
a car
things.
For the county.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a, they
it's
give
like
us
buying
the specs.
A car, yeah.
They'll give us the specs, and that's what we need to do. So I need a recommendation
from
you guys to.
Already,
yeah, you do. I mean, but I need to work with you guys to get that and built into our RFP.
Yeah, and definitely support that.
So
how about you? What do you think?
I mean, about it, if you have the proper safeguards in it, you know, I think it's fine. But trust but verify.
Right. So your thing is the, you know, the safeguards and. Yeah.
Yeah,
no, it's good because people need to know, and if that needs to be explained better, then it needs to be explained better.
Well, so, I'd rather you ask that question here and now and have us a prepared answer for you so that you feel comfortable with that, because I guarantee you other people
are thinking the same thing.
That same question. I myself have no concern about that, but I'm me. I work on the inside. I work with this technology. I've worked with this technology. I want you to feel comfortable with that. I want Councilwoman Jones to feel comfortable with that. I want the rest of the audience to feel comfortable with that to the degree possible. You're never going to please everybody.
Yeah. Right.
But again, this is a tool in the proverbial law enforcement tool chest, and it's going to cost nowhere near what another deputy or even a half a deputy
and
in
it's
time
fantastic.
Frame would cost. And that's huge. That's really
huge.
I
think that we're
it's an insurance policy in a sense.
We're at the point we need to take some next steps.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
Because we can debate the merits and the until we start getting specifics.
Some hard numbers.
Yeah, we just really are now operating on sort of like, yes, it's a valuable tool, and I think LEAC is telling me that yes, we should pursue this as a valuable tool, that we should recommend the council at least take the next step.
And your you're telling me to move on.
Yes, I will make the motion.
You're telling me to move on to fentanyl.
And I'll second that motion. For the record, motion and a second.
Okay.
Do we still have a quorum with Wayne?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Wayne's technically not a voting member.
Oh, okay.
He's an ad hoc, what do you call it? I don't know what the word for it is. No, he's an no. He's not an at-large. There's another word for it. I'm blowing a blank. But anyway, he's not a voting member.
Criminal at-large.
Anyway, okay, so the next thing on SB, the fentanyl, that was Senator Umberg.
Right.
Had introduced it. It got failed, but he has reintroduced it. It was just, I put it on here for that reason. Over the last week, he had indicated that it was, and it was a press release today. He reintroduced it. So there is a whole legislation that's going to be pushed back up in Sacramento. We'll see what kind of support it gets. It got killed. I'm not sure why it got killed. It doesn't make sense, but it got killed in the committee, I believe. So now it's back. Now it's back on, it's back in route, and he reintroduced it. So we'll see, and they're trying to deal with all the concerns. But that's just more of an informational.
Does council need to do anything?
We already went, we did it. We're fine.
Okay.
We're fine. I just, it's a more informational that it's been reintroduced, so in your personal contacts, support it. Okay. Would be my recommendation.
And I just wanted to add, while we're talking about fentanyl, the Villa Park High School PFSO will be putting on another fentanyl awareness night in the spring. So I'll keep this committee informed on where it is, because people who are attending will receive Narcan at the end. So I think those events are so important.
Is the school district going to be open to the event?
Oh, yeah. No, I think they will. This is, you know, the PFSO is taking it on, so they'll be the one putting the word out and, relying on the district.
The other one was nice, but it was disappointing.
We're not going to rely on the school district to get the word out. We're going to do it as parents. So,
So the next item was the 4th of July enforcement. I know Nicole had some.
Yeah, so 4th of July, you know, we've had issues with fireworks over the years, but every year it just seems to be getting worse. And I received a lot of complaints personally after the 4th. I know when I spoke with the captain after the 4th of July, and I'll say this too for your benefit, they only got 6 calls, 2 for parties and 4 for fireworks. And out of those 4 for fireworks, 2 of them were from members of our city council. So, you know, that's a little disappointing that we tried to get the word out, you know, if you see something, say something, and then no one called.
But the reason nobody called was because we got put on hold for a half an hour or 45 minutes.
Well, and I did alert the captain to that as well, because I did get a letter from a woman who said that she initially called 911, where are my notes? And that when she called 911, they transferred her to the non-emergency line, and then she was disconnected. So they kind of tried to assume, you know, based on her location where it was, and did a drive-by but didn't find anything. But then I got another complaint from someone else who said that they did the same thing. They were transferred from 911 to non-emergency and were disconnected. So I don't know if can research that as well.
I don't think there's much. I've kind of researched it already. We have to define exactly what the firework problem is, and then we can address the communication problem. The communication problem is it's the busiest night of the year, and our dispatch center is completely, I wouldn't say overwhelmed, but they have to prioritize. And the one thing that I don't want people to do is to call 911 for stuff that isn't emergency. Because 911 should be for stuff that is actually requires that response. And I'm not, faulting anybody for doing it, but they're smart enough to know, this is an emergency, whatever. But you're absolutely right, especially on the 4th of July, when their call volume doubles, you're going to be on hold because they're going at it. And I'd give you a tour up there if you want to see it sometime. It's pretty amazing what they do. But neither here nor there. I think we just need to figure out how we have suppression teams and deputies in Villa Park on 3rd, 4th, 5th. We can also change that if needed, depending on the year, I guess. But how do we get that information to the deputies with the least amount of, hiccup to the citizens?
Well, why are we even waiting for calls, though? Because, you can see them going up. So, I mean, can't the deputies just kind of make their way over? You know, because, you know, I was at an event where the neighbors, you know, very close to where Mr. Reynolds lives, and the neighbors were just going off with the illegal fireworks. And so we're here, we're lighting off our safe and sane, and stuff is shooting up for 2 hours, shooting up in the air, exploding like Disneyland fireworks.
Are you staying on the same street?
Yes, on your street.
Really? Yes. Was I there?
No, you were not there.
Oh. Yeah, I didn't know that.
Well, and that's the thing.
I know who it is, but
I know it's a small city, but we also have a lot of, you know, barriers, and you literally have the entirety of Orange going off around. So there's a lot of sensory overload on those nights. And I'm not saying that if it's obvious that they shouldn't go do it, they should. But if they're over addressing a call that they got, you know, on the far end of the city, and that is going off, like I said. I don't know if that's necessarily the answer. To say just handle what you observe, that's kind of oversimplifying it, I think. I think the best thing is to get people who have this, something to report, a place to actually report it, which I'm open to suggestions, but if it's a temporary thing and we have a specific team dedicated to doing that for the night, then maybe a direct line of communication with that team, or somebody that is here or in one of our my operations center that can communicate with the team. So I don't know if that's a temporary cell phone number. I thought about texting, but we have a lot of mature folks in the town. I'm not sure if texting would be the best option. I think you'd like to be actually here, and then that actually gives the whoever's on the other end an opportunity to ask a follow-up question. Did it go in the sky? Did it blow up on the ground? I mean, a lot of the stuff that we're seeing is not always going up in the sky. There's stuff, some heavy-duty stuff that people are basically blowing up stuff, right?
Yeah. And most of those, are, I think, too, not most, but a lot of that is people running around, lighting it, taking off.
Right. And they, it was funny, the people that are doing it, they're having a good time, but they have something illegal. They know that
yeah.
They're not going to hang around to see, you know, who's coming for them. And that's what happened on a lot of, pretty much the 4th of July since I've been wearing uniform, is that most of those type of calls, when you get there, by the time you've done all your other things, that guy's already in the wind. So that's why I think if we can cut through the on-hold time, avoid the 911 stuff, and maybe just go a straight line of communication to our team, which we actually have a team, which most places don't. Most cities, it's just a free-for-all. I think we're small enough and we're controlled enough to where we can do that.
I really like the idea of kind of a direct, like, hotline number.
If you see
illegal fireworks, you know, call this.
Right. So, and I could put one of my, you know, I could put any one of my folks in the room over here just answering that phone call and then be in a direct line. And they can also, and you know, have follow-up questions for that person. And they can direct communication to our team out in the field. Hey, it's over here. This is what they saw. And again, a lot of it, like I'm torn on the 4th of July because everybody's having, it's part, literally a party for America, and everybody's having a good time.
I try to
err on the side of education and warnings. If somebody's blatantly using stuff that they shouldn't be using, then that's different. But especially like on the days outside of our window, and I'm sure there's different opinions on that. But if somebody's using safe and sane, but it's just outside of our window, what's our intent there? You know, what are we trying to do? Especially ones that we're selling to them.
Right.
Yeah. So. No, I'm a huge fan of the safe and sane. I was a huge proponent of it. You know, our nonprofits, you know, make a lot of money. But, you know, it has been a little bit of a mask, you know, for the illegal fireworks. And the illegal fireworks have just gotten worse and worse every year. I mean, you just look up in the sky, and like I said, it's like a Disneyland quality display now.
And unfortunately, like you said, we're the donut. We're surrounded by, and I'm not saying they're not happening here too, but we're surrounded by them. It's just a complete, you know,
so
overload.
Every night at 4 o'clock, someone's lighting them off over in Orange. Every night.
We live in Brea, and I just, for a matter of fact, we can see pretty much all of the county from you go up. So my kids, we don't go to see fireworks. We can see personal fireworks display all for Fullerton, which they're, you know, where they're illegal. You can see them blasting all over.
Yes.
They're in illegal in Brea, and I mean, they're all over. I mean, I can look from the high school. They're within 3 blocks of the high school. You can see them blowing off and whatever. And I've talked to their police people there, and they say by the time we get there, they're gone. They're done. And we're not going to cite somebody because some next door neighbor said, "Hey, they were lighting them off." Mm-hmm. They're not going. They're going to do. We're going to tell them it's illegal. You should be doing
and
it.
But
they're
realize
not. Gonna
realize too is it safe if, and I'm not saying this is, it's not. If they come across a pretty decent stash of illegal fireworks, they're not married to that until our bomb squad guys get over there to.
Yeah, I was going to say, now you're also taking.
They're not putting that stuff in their trunk and driving around and getting more.
Yeah.
There's certain things that they can't take possession of. They basically have to say, hold on.
Yeah.
And granted, our bomb squad people are out, but they're extremely busy. They cover the entire county, not just sheriff department area.
Yeah, and then now you're going to take whatever 2 deputies out of the program for the night for a good 4 or 5 hours, I'm assuming.
I think the communication.
It is absolutely the most craziest night to work as a deputy.
It is.
It's. Hands down, the most gracious night ever.
Yeah, I mean, because I was even driving home in a haze. I mean, it was like,
Of Westminster and Santa Ana.
Smoking fog. No, it was from all the fireworks. It was crazy. And then someone else had set up a huge scaffolding in the middle of Lincoln, to boost their safety.
They do that every year.
Fireworks, it was just, I don't know. It just was a little out of hand. We've had a couple of fires recently, so maybe education on disposal.
Well, I think we've only had one fire as a result.
Well, there was the one on Henderson.
That was a resident who put it into a trash can.
Right.
Before
both
they were
of these,
extinguished.
I thought were trash cans.
They were teenager.
But they weren't like fireworks lighting on
a teenager.
No, we haven't had any fire.
For the residents, if they at least have a voice where they're not being hung up on, which not on purpose, on hold for half an hour, or feeling guilty for calling 911, or not feeling guilty for calling at all because they know it's tied up. If they had a direct, where they could just talk to somebody, it's like. You call a company and you get a robot for the first. If you didn't, all you want to do is dial 0.
Yeah, like zero.
Talk to one
representative.
So they can at least tell me I'm out of luck.
Right.
So even if that's the case, I think just having somebody to talk to.
So why don't we go ahead and we'll work on setting something up?
Yeah,
this
I love
year
that
with
like hotline kind of idea.
Publicizing.
That's the only thing you use on the 4th of July unless you find that the city finds a need to use that number for something else.
Yeah.
Maybe an emergency line.
I'm not
going to
pay
road,
for that much extra.
It could be literally a track phone from Walmart. We can
we do pay for the extra service on the 4th of July.
Yeah.
What do you mean the extra service?
And it's paid for by
through
the
deputies.
Extra deputies.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's not covered anymore completely.
Oh.
Prices.
We pay $4,000 to prices.
The amount that we're taking from the booths because that should be covered.
$4,500. It's $500 more, but it's the cost in. You guys are negotiating these hefty raises. So anyway, we
so
may
gonna
have
be
to
about 1,500 more next year.
Yeah, why don't we see what they come in at cost? Because I've been a part of these booths since we started, and there's definitely some margin in there. We make great profit for our nonprofit groups here, but they can absorb say an extra 200 a booth
and
pay for
and
the
deployment,
law enforcement.
Technically, in our strategy can change from year to year. Like I said, I forget what it was last year, but if 4th of July is on Monday, that Saturday and Sunday is going to be going off, right?
Right. Mm.
If this year it's on a Thursday, that Saturday and Sunday before might be the one going off.
We start getting complaints the day we sell.
Yeah.
Exactly.
The day they open up. I mean, and actually we get complaints.
Do we need to be more flexible on that window for the safe and
safe?
Right. I think the 5th is really insignificant when
totally.
The 4th is on the Thursday.
Yeah.
I'd rather back it up one day. Just if I had a crystal ball and
I think there needs to be some flexibility there.
Yeah,
we're definitely not boxed.
And we did cut the sales window by a day.
Yeah, but candidly, I don't want to publicize when this extra patrol's out there.
No.
I just want to say extra patrols are out there.
No, of course.
Right.
That's like telling them how many. Oh, well, they only have one guy here again, so let's go do it.
Your guys' purview.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
The council.
But we'll get a number. We'll publicize. I think that's a good idea.
And can we give some extra education on fireworks disposal, too? Because, the fires have been.
We have, if you see all the booths now, have to do that, have to distribute that from fire authority. They have to distribute any sales of things. It has to be distributed. We publicize it on our website. Typically the people that are doing the bad stuff, the stupid stuff,
They're running in right now.
They may have a, they literally get a handout now when they sell stuff. They have to have a handout.
Yeah, I've seen it, but it's very dry. Yeah. It's like black and white print on like a paper. Everyone goes, okay,
I really
want to
bring
it.
Chief
Green
Solar
in
on this one.
Yeah.
Thank you, Brett.
Yeah. Oh. Well, I was just going to say, the messaging beforehand on the email, or the email or the stuff that goes out really should be, you know, say, you know, you can say, yeah, you got the safe and sane, but, you know, illegal fireworks are these. If you do these, there are penalties for it. The police are going to be out looking for it. Yes, you can use the safe and sane, but the message, it got buried in there. So I think, part of it's a messaging issue. And you could also do some things. Hey, can we get Ralph to hand out something? And every time somebody goes through the line, you just, you know, you either have it right there or they put it in the bag.
Well, we do. Like I say, everything that anytime you go to one of the stands, they have to hand out the material.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
But the thing is, those, I'm not sure somebody that's buying the safe and sane is the issue.
Not illegal.
Well, I know. I know what you're saying.
Not disposal, but not illegal.
But those people aren't going to, if the people who are going through Ralph's who are planning on doing illegal, they're not taking, they're just throwing it for sure away. Yeah. We're going to have a lot of trash on the ground because those people don't worry about the law anyway.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I'm very, very honest, Lizzie. Yeah. It's Ralph's is going to say, this is more handouts we're going to have to pick up outside on our parking lot. So, I mean, I get what you're saying. We need to do a better job of messaging, but I also don't want to give out something that's just going to end up being, we're picking up more trash.
What are our penalties?
Because
I know Orange started $1,000.
Advertise the penalties, and we can get those from.
Yeah, it's the state government code on what it is. We rely on the state.
Because didn't Orange like start $1,000 penalties like year before last or something?
Especially like up in the fire zone.
Yeah. It's like $1,000 an incident or something like that, you know.
But yeah, I doubt Orange even issued one of those.
I was going to say, Orange.
I've heard that they did, that they actually issued. I'll look it up because I think they, I mean, it was a very low number. It was like one or two. But I mean.
Yeah.
It's better than nothing.
The enforcement in Orange is. Just go down Collins, it's like a circus. I literally called the city manager one time, and he says, I don't have patrolmen. I said, sorry. I don't have anybody.
They're a mess.
He goes, we're dealing with crime, not fireworks.
Yeah. Right.
So, I mean, it's all enforcement. Right. A lot of it's enforcement, a lot of it's communication. But I will say that we have been, and the fire authority will tell you, we've had a very limited number of fires in Villa Park because of fireworks. And it's surprising because you would think, you know, oh my gosh, we're
especially
probably
with the ones that are being shot from the Orange foothills.
Yeah.
You would think that there'd be a lot more because of the wild areas we have right onto the electrical wires and all that. But we've been very fortunate, knock on wood. I mean, I hate to say that, but you know, one house is too bad. But that
nearest neighbors. You know.
Yeah. Anyway. I don't even think I haven't been home for the last couple 4th of July's.
I wasn't the most.
We saw you were launching a premium car.
No, I don't remember.
Yeah,
Oh, and the apartment complex is down there out of control.
Yeah, the Collins is out of control. They're lighting them up.
No.
I want to move. So if anyone knows about a half acre up for sale anywhere.
I wanted to just mention that the school traffic is more informational. You recall we took two stop signs off of Nichols to improve traffic. And we've had some concerns from commuters, and we had some of the residents. So this Tuesday, we're having, the council will have a vote to, we're recommending that we go to have an independent traffic engineer look at it and give us best practices for it. So we're contracting so that it isn't just staff telling us, it isn't just us saying that we don't need them, but they're going to tell you what best practice is based on traffic volume, et cetera, because one of the things that I've heard is, oh my gosh, people are coming on the weekends or whatever and driving fast. You're only solving the problem during the day for traffic flow. But personally, having been on Nichols on a weekend a lot, and you've all been there, it is not a heavily traveled road.
No.
It is just not. So if somebody's having near misses because whatever, we have posted, we are extending the red so you can see better on Nichols, and we also posted a sign saying cross traffic does not stop. If you see that there now. So we're going to have a traffic engineer to sort of do traffic counts and things like that for us. So we can really have a due diligence and best look at it. I think a lot of it, candidly, in talking to the principal, he has indicated to me, and we both agreed, it's a behavior issue. It's not it's you know, traffic behavior. So every year you have a whole new set of parents. Half the school is new parents.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So he says it's a training in behavior, and it always starts in August, September when school starts. And then, by the end of the year, people are trained, and it changes around. So and it's the same with the kids crossing. So we are, that's just an informational thing of what we're doing because I want to dispel some of the urban myths about it is, how bad it is or whatever. We're going to have a traffic engineer independent from the city and independent from somebody that we're...
The crosswalk's not still there, is it?
It is a crosswalk with a flashing thing now. So we have installed, which is what was recommended to us. And so we're going to have say, well, this traffic's, what warrant and anything they can do to make it safer is what we're asking the traffic engineer.
Because the parents aren't happy.
A lot of parents aren't happy, but candidly, many of the calls that I received are from residents who are not residents, or people who call. So I have a lady who yelled at me and cussed me out several times because, and then I said, well, do you live in the area? I live in Orange, but I go there for 10 years and it's not safe and whatever. I understand that because some of the residents have come forward, but I think the best thing to do is have an objective observer look at it, give us the best recommendations, and it's not based on personal preferences, but it's based on best traffic engineer practices from what a safety perspective is.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're doing.
Perfect. Is that parking's, they can still park there, huh?
Not during school hours.
Oh, okay.
Not during school hours.
That was a big problem.
That was a huge problem, not just for visibility, but also for illegal activities.
Yes.
Shenanigans.
Yes.
I was kind of amazed the stop sign went away.
Well, going that way, it's not going away. There's a stop sign if you're going west on Serrano still. It's just on Nichols.
Yes, just on Nichols.
Nichols, because in the traffic, in talking to them, it's because people weren't used to stopping anyway, and it's becoming deceptive, and people think there's a stop, and the kids were running across, and so we put in a flashing light where the kids, now it's, that was the recommendation. But anyway, we're having an independent appraisal of it, so I just, so we...
Stand by.
We can wait and see, and if they come in and say we need to do something else, we'll do something else. But
okay.
I think that's the sort of like it's getting an arbitrator or whatever to come in and say this makes the most sense, and that's where we are. So I just wanted to let you know that we are taking it seriously, and their complaints are not just falling awry, and we're listening to it. But to the extent we have that, we can then respond in a rational way, saying we've looked at it. This is the safest recommendation, best practices, all those kinds of things.
So. Okay.
It's going to cost us $7,000, but I think it's well spent.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's all I have.
Yeah. It's open for anything.
If I could just ask, could we schedule our meetings now for the rest of the year? Maybe our chairperson, and could you get with Steve and maybe schedule those out? Because last year we only had two meetings, and other than the flock presentation, and I think this is
Well, we are limited to four meetings by resolution.
Right, and so. That's what I was thinking. If we could just schedule a quarterly meeting, because having half the number of meetings last year, I think some of this we could have had some really good conversations. Say if we had something right after the 4th of July.
Yeah, I mean, we can schedule them. The only thing we wait till stuff comes up and then call the meeting. So that's what we've done in the past. But
I think we've got a lot on the horizon, with the license plate readers, see mm-hmm. what happens this 4th of July. I think we've got some stuff coming up. It would be nice to
I have no problem with that.
So that way we all can plan accordingly. What do you think?
It's his show.
It is really not my show.
Just
so you know, I keep getting this by default. Whenever you want to schedule them. Yeah, whenever you want to schedule them.
I support whatever you all decide.
Because
Put it on my calendar.
Mr. Cohn's been communicating, and he wanted to attend, and then he's like, oh, maybe October, maybe this. And
just
so.
Keep in mind, we and this is not the reason why it was two meetings last year. We've had a lot of criticism from a certain council person about overwhelming city staff. Candidly, I don't see it. I didn't hear the same concern in any way, shape, or form.
So we choose to do it when there's issues instead of having to. This.
I support what you're saying 100%. So don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But somebody, a particular councilperson, a current councilperson, it was like beating on the same drum, and that was not shared by staff. So.
And we also had past issues with this. For some reason, someone at the beginning made this a very political statement. And so we kind of just, when there's issues, we do it. And I have no problem doing it whenever anyone wants to do it.
It's probably as a council person, probably my number one complaint that I hear from residents is like law enforcement related. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, you know, my husband's
exactly
identity
why
was stolen
we
in Ralph.
Yeah. Public safety is number one, period.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I mean, so I really value this committee, and I think that it's really important that we meet on a regular basis.
That's exactly why I got started.
I agree 100%.
The only thing I would offer is that if there's an issue that comes up with law enforcement, I'm not going to wait for one of your meetings. We're going to deal with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, absolutely. The sheriff and I are going to.
It's only if it's a long-term issue that may require
ongoing.
So in that case, maybe we schedule three and have one in a.
Yeah, I mean, we can do whatever. We'll talk about whatever. Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
But I just want to, if something comes up, I mean, we talk probably a couple times a week.
Yeah.
We'll be talking on things, and he'll say, hey, we got an issue. And there are things that come up that I wouldn't bother sharing with the committee here because it's just a decision that we make about directed enforcement or whatever. And, you know, those kinds of things that are not, you know, the kinds of things that we really just need to wait on. We just do it. You know, he'll come in and say, hey, Steve, we need to do this or we need to change that. And I'm like, oh, I'm all in. You know, let's just do it. So, you know, they're very proactive when they have a problem. I'll give you a good example. We had some drug sales that were going on right over here in the office building. So they had with the students and whatever and the alcoves. And so they put special teams on it. And I said, you know, fine. It wasn't a waiting and I wouldn't bring it here because it's just they do it. That's what they're here for. And they said, this is what we recommend and we do it. At one point, your predecessor put up black and white in front of the jewelry store to stop smashing grabs, just the black and white sitting there. Mm-hmm. You know, we put
decoy.
Them, decoy type.
That's things. How we started this whole thing, was with decoys and volunteer on patrol.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so yes, we'll set up meetings. I think I like the idea of three and then one that,
one that we can just throw in.
Yeah, because I think that makes sense.
But at least we've got something, you know, if a resident's interested in attending, we can say
no, absolutely. The more people that show up, the better. I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah. That's always been our mantra and what we've strive to do, but at the same time, we're between a rock and a hard place to a certain degree. But look forward to it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
I have no comments.
And I think the meeting after the 4th of July was canceled, or post, we didn't have a July meeting.
Yeah, I mean, candidly, without you, we wouldn't have a quorum.
Oh, okay.
So we kind of deal with that a little bit.
Yeah,
it's not a really
not
large
show.
Committee.
Yeah.
So if half can't show or two people can't show, we didn't have a quorum.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we had that last meeting that happened one time when Eric forgot the meeting.
No, that was not forgot. I got tied up.
Okay.
That was I was 2.5
it's
hours
all perspective
away.
And, you know, plausible deniability.
Business, 2.5 hours away.
Bad boys and felonies.